Let us move on now to item 12, which is going to be a presentation from Siegel regarding member contributions paid toward terminal pay or leave cash outs. I see we have Andy Young and Paul Angelo with us this morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
So let us proceed. Christina, I think this is your item.
Yes. So just a little way of background here. There was legislation enacted in 2012 with an effective date of January 1st, 2013. That legislation changed how CSERA calculates retirement benefits for some of its members. There was a stay order that was put into place. So CSERA didn't make those changes until July 12th, 2014. Around that time, CSERA requested from our actuary, Siegel Consulting, to give us an idea of what the percentage was within the contributions related to some of the terminal pay assumptions that were changed with this legislation. You'll see in the packet that Siegel has included that letter. This item today is a further analysis of that percentage and to break that percentage up by our individual cost groups. So I have Paul Angelo and Andy Young here today to discuss the information that's presented in the packet.
Excellent. Gentlemen, the floor is yours. Thank you,
Chris. Okay, thank you, Christina. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members of the board. Let's see, I'm going to share my screen, if we can do it. Is that possible? I think it would be helpful if we can have the item from the board packet up here. Let's see here. And while that is being enabled, I'm going to scroll down in the board item. Okay, here we go.
We also each have it in front of us, Paul, as well.
Okay, very good. Let's see. There we go. And share. All right. So so can you see it before you? Should have this is amounts to page 19 of the board packet, which is the first item under this agenda. You can see there it's agenda item 12. Mr. Chairman, can you see that on your screens?
Yes.
Good. All right. So as was introduced, we've got a short letter here. And really all that we're doing is taking the effect of the change in the leave cash out or terminal pay assumptions, and we use those terms interchangeably. Back in 2014, we did an analysis, and that letter is attached right after this one, August 5th, 2014. It's actually a very helpful letter if you want to hear the background of all the events, because it does a nice summary of what happened both in 1997 and in 2010 and in 2012 and in 2014 that all led up to this. But what happened was in 2014, there was a change in what was to be included. And so we were given data by the association that allowed us to analyze what final pay would be during a two-year period of retirements under the old rules and the new rules. And we were able to quantify the effect of that. And so we actually changed the leave cash out assumptions. And then we estimated the cost impact of that change in assumptions. But we did it only in the aggregate. And we determined at that point that, and it says here in the letter, we determined at that time that it would be about 0.3% of payroll would be the change in the aggregate member contribution rates. There's that 0.3. It turns out that was actually rounded. It was really 0.34. And then we were simply asked to go back, take those computer programs that already existed, pull them out of our files, and look at the change in the member contribution rates by cost group. And so if we go here to page two of the letter, you see a long table here, but it all averages and totals down here to this 0.34. That's the 0.3 from the 2014 letter. And so all that we've done here is for each of the various general and safety cost groups, we've shown what the change in that average member rate would be. And then we applied it to salaries back at that time. As is always the case, the labeling is a little confusing. So here are the terminal pay assumptions that were in effect prior to the 2014 change that were actually used in the 2012 evaluation. Then, as we often do, we took the assumptions that were now going to be used in the 2013 valuation and went back and said, well, what if we had used those assumptions in the 2012 valuation? So we get an apples to apples comparison. And then here in this next to last column shows what that aggregate rate change is for each cost group. Again, this is the member contribution rates. I understand this is an informational item. And so with that, we are open to questions. But as I say, if you want a little more detail on what led up to this, after this new letter, there's a copy of that August 5th, 2014 letter that I found very helpful in restoring my memory from 7 years ago of what went into this calculation originally. But really, all we're doing is disaggregating that 0.3 right. effect into a rate by cost group, and that's what's shown on the table. So with that, it's our prepared remarks, and we're open to questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. And that, I did find that history helpful. I was around for some of it, obviously not all of it. So yeah, so if people want to get a sense of context and awareness and history, that's an excellent resource. Are there questions for Andy or Paul on the material and the presentation? Appears not. I'm looking through my screen. If we can unshare the screen, if you
of
don't
course,
mind,
sir. It allows us
to go
there
back.
We go.
To Perfect. Thank you, Paul. It just allows us to go back.
Oh, yeah. I know that drill.
Yeah, the gallery view. So this is an informational item. It looks like, David, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah. I don't know, Paul, you're going to go in this in the next item. But there, I read apparently there's a savings of $200 million to Sacera with the change in terminal pay. Are you discussing that later, or can you comment on that now?
Let's see. Trustee McDonald, can you help me find that reference to the $200 million? Is it in this materials, or does it show up in the next item? And is this only because of terminal pay, or is this, do you know if this is perhaps because of other Alameda-related things?
And this was a letter to Kurt Schneider, page 4 of that letter dated August 5th, 2014, said that the unfunded liability would be decreased by about $200 million.
Yeah, so if we'll, we're now looking at what is page 26 of the packet. And it is the last page, page 4 of the letter, the August 5th, 2014 letter. And what it does is to say, okay, because of this assumption change, we always look at the change in employer rates, the change in the member rates, and the change in unfunded liability. And the change in unfunded liability is about $200 million. So in the valuation that first used these assumptions, that would have been the 2013 valuation. And Andy, is that sound? Andy's nodding his head. So I bet if we go back to that actuarial report, we will see in the reconciliation of the unfunded liability that there was the effect of the assumption change. There may have been other things going on, but there would have been a reduction of an unfunded liability of about $200 million. And again, the reason is the effect of, just as there were reductions in the member contribution rates, there was also reductions in the employer contribution rates, because basically we're reducing the amount of pay that's counted in the benefit calculation. And so that basically makes all the numbers smaller, and in particular, the unfunded liability. So the plan would have shown a reduction in unfunded liability and in the related employer contribution rates, and would have first shown up in that December 2013 valuation, which would first have affected contribution rates in, I think, 2015-16. But so that's already been baked into the numbers since that 2013 valuation. I have no idea if I answered your question, Trustee McDonald, but that's really just, we're just quantifying all the numbers that are affected by this assumption change. As I say, the average employer rate went down by 4.2%, which included the effect on the normal cost, which went down 1.9%. And the unfunded liability by 2.3. Maybe that'll help a little bit. That $200 million reduction in unfunded liability, when amortized, according with the board's funding policy, that reduced the employer contribution rate by about 2.3% of pay. And again, that would have been effective with that 2013 valuation, and therefore would have affected employer contribution rates in the 15-16 year and subsequent years.
Did that also reduce the employee contribution rate?
Yes, the employee contribution rates were reduced in effect by the numbers that are by that 0.3%, 0.34%. Yes, that would have also been first effective in that 15-16 year. Yes, sir.
Okay. Something that will come up later is the issue of excess contributions made by legacy employees. And there's a question about, well, apparently that money is not going to be returned. And again, we'll discuss that further. But if that money is not returned, what is the impact of that on the unfunded liability?
Well, it sort of goes the other way. If there is no money returned, the non-action of not returning the money leaves the unfunded liability unaffected. And so if there were additional contributions returned, you know, that's basically, that would be it from the valuation standpoint, an unexpected outflow of assets. And that would basically show up as an actuarial loss, which would then increase the employer contribution. The magnitude is hard to gauge. But it's sort of a double negative. There's never any effect on the unfunded if you don't do something. And so the decision is not to make additional refunds of member contributions. That would leave the unfunded liability unchanged. And if there's a decision to make refunds, I'll pick a number out of the sky. If you refund $1,000, well, that will increase the unfunded liability by $1,000.
Well, but that's how the unfunded liability is calculated now. But going back, there was a bump or a positive impact on the unfunded liability by $200 million. So do you have any idea what portion of that is tied to member contributions that apparently will not be refunded to members?
No, we do not. The only thing that we have, I believe, and Andy, check me on this, in the letter, the today's letter, we have an estimate of what 1 year's worth of that reduction would have been. That's what's actually shown in that letter. We took the change in the contribution, the member contribution rates, because of the assumption change, we apply that to 1 year's worth of payroll. So I think we could answer the question of what 1 year's worth of those contributions would be worth. And that's what's shown on page two of our new letter. And that is, I'm looking at this, Andy, if I got it right, that's about $2.2 million for all groups combined.
Andy, you're muted.
Oh.
There you are.
No, Andy, your mic's broken. Andy, try to turn your camera off, see if that helps. Nope. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble.
Yeah, we still can't hear you, Andy.
Sorry, Andy, we can't hear you.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to fly solo, Paul.
Okay. Trustee McDonald, again, we can tell we have an estimate of 1 year's worth of refund of 1 year's worth of the change in member contributions because of the 2014 change in the definition of terminal pay or leave cash out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other board member questions of Paul? And if not yet, I'm sorry, Jerry, your hand.
This is more a question of you, Scott, and or Christina. It's been 3 hours now. I may have missed this, but did we defer a written public comment on this item, items 12 and 13?
No, we did not defer. I'm about to call for public comment. I wanted to get the presentation done and the Q&A at the board level done so the public has a benefit of that, and then I'm going to move to public comment.
Great. Thank you.
Great. So if there are no other board member questions or comments, then Christina, I understand we do have some public comment on this item. This is not, again, this is an informational item. It's not a public hearing, but we have some public comments. So if we could tee that up, Christina, that would be great.
Yes, it looks like we have two.
All right.
The first one is from Brian Hast. My name is Brian Hast, and I was a longtime Sisera board member and am now retired. I served on the board before and after Sisera members began paying the 0.34% of their gross earnings toward their share of the terminal pay cost. Therefore, I am very familiar with the issue of the overpayment of these contributions, which you are considering the refund of today. The definition of an overpayment of retirement contributions is where contributions are collected from CSERA members for benefits that upon their ultimate retirement, they do not receive. In this case, the calculation of the overpayments of the 0.34% of gross pay for terminal pay costs is not limited simply to those contributions collected from CSERA members after July 12, 2014, the date that Judge Flynn's stay of implementation of AB 197 ended. The calculation of and collection of contributions from CSERA members attributable to their expected terminal pay benefits began long before July 12, 2014. CSERA members began paying their portion, 0.34% of their gross pay, when CSERA's actuary was first able to calculate the terminal pay cost as a separate cost item. Before that, the CSERA employers paid that cost as part of their unfunded liability because it was treated as variance to the actuarial assumptions. To determine the correct and complete calculation of the overpayment by CSERA members of the cost of their terminal pay contributions, you must, one, determine the group of CSERA members who did not receive the benefit of their contributions toward terminal pay. This determination is easy. Any CSERA member who did not retire before July 12, 2014 did not receive terminal pay benefits that they contributed toward. Two, determine when each of these CSERA members began paying contributions, which included the identified 0.34% toward terminal pay. This time period for many CSERA members will begin before July 12, 2014, the date the AB 197 stay was lifted. Three, calculate the overpayment for each of these CSERA members based on the 0.34% of gross pay each of them paid since CSERA began collecting the terminal pay contributions from each of them. Calculating the contributions made over the time periods as described above will result in a correct and complete determination of the amounts of overpayments made by CSERA members that resulted in no benefits to them. The second comment which just came in, and it there isn't a name, but it just says, you are actually saying you're not going to refund the money you took from me. And then we have other similarly related comments for the next item, but those are the two on this item.
All right, thank you, Christina. Jerry, your hand is still showing as raised. Did you have further comment or? Oh, no, I was paying attention. All right, any other comments on this item? David?
Yeah, I just want to ask Christina if I could get a copy of Brian Hass's comments sent to me.
Yes, I can send that to you.
Why don't you just distribute it to the entire board, Christina?
It would be really helpful to have Harvey step in right now and maybe describe the legal quandary that we're in with regard to refunding further back, because that's something that has been part of our discussion in the past. And I don't know if we were going to discuss it further on, but in direct response to this, I think it would be very helpful to understand, for people to understand that.
Yeah, I think we were going to take it up under item 13, likely, but I don't have any objection to Harvey addressing it now.
I don't either. I just want to make sure that all of the members who are listening recognize right. that we don't have the ability to refund, the legal ability to refund back as far as many people would like us to. Right.
So Harvey, your thought, you want to address it now, or do you want to address it under item 13?
It might be better to do it in the context of the item 13 so okay. that we have a full context in discussing that subject and everything else that comes up with the resolution.
Fair enough. Candace, is that acceptable?
Absolutely. No. As long as we're doing it as part of this meeting.
All right. Any other thoughts, comments for Paul or Andy on item 12? Not seeing any. So anyway, thank you, Paul and Andy, for the presentation and the information. Very helpful.
Chairman, we will stay on just to listen to the discussion on 13. And then we also have another item at 14. So we will stay with you for the duration. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.